Well, praise God. Get your Bibles out this morning. Well, I'm glad y'all all decided to get up and come to church on this beautiful day. I think some of y'all had the posse out for me this morning. I had to get out and get on my Harley and run down the road right quick for church. Passing all y'all driving up, and they're looking at me like, is that Pastor? I'm headed south. Y'all are headed north. Praise God. But there was a lady down the road that had a flat that I came back by, and I stopped and fixed her flat, so that made up for the excuse of having, you know, going out. So it was an ordained moment of God. Well, turn, if you would, to the book of Psalms this morning, Psalms 91. Christy, do we have that video? Before we get there, just turn to Psalms 91. We're going there. I have a little video here I want to show you. I know that last week Bob spoke about Guatemala, and I want to just do a little. There it is. That's Guatemala. Pretty country. Have great flowers there. No sound? You want me just to sing? These are just the kids, just different ones of them. Sure you figured that out. The classrooms in the school. Is there any way for you to freeze it, stop it, or is it playing all the time? Can you go back? Just go back a picture or two. Right there. I just went the one that just flipped over. Right there. You see these houses that are right here, the two in here? This is the normal size house that we built down there. It's basically a 40 by 60 home. 15 children are in there with the house parents and all. And that's showing you two. And then on up the hill, this way, there's three more, and above the hill up here, we've got one that just came online this week that is ready for kids. We've got kids in it right now, and then there's a new one being built. And the whole overall project, there's four more houses that will be built on the site that'll be just like that. Okay, you can go ahead and go. That's the big feeding center we have there. Ooh, what's behind there? This is the building. Now, Living Waters, we bought the metal, put everything on there, the Living Waters in the water hole, put that on there and got all that sheets of metal up there. And so now that's the second half of the school. That's a really large building. It's kind of hard to really get a total feel of how big it is. That is about a 75 wide. Now you can see it's 75 wide by about 120 long. So it's a huge thing, two stories. What's happened is our kids, we have more kids now that are growing up and going to school, and so we've run out of classroom space. And so we're getting that other section on, which will then be the other half of the school. We can get all the classrooms going with the kids down there. So it was a great trip, great blessing. We got all that roof on, got it locked down. We had to buy some windows and do some stuff like that from now on. But the one thing I want to tell y'all that y'all need to be praying for, okay, and I really need you to focus your prayers on this, is we've got a problem down there that I've been dealing with for years, and with all of y'all's help and support, we've been taking care of. You know, we're known at the orphanage as the septic people because it's funny. You know, a church will donate money to build one of the homes that they know they're going to put kids in because they can put their name on it and whatever. And that's really immaterial to me. They can do whatever they want to, but You're not going to find my our name down there. You're not going to find my picture stuck on the wall. You're not going to find that. I just don't want to do that. And so the one thing that nobody wants to deal with is nobody wants to deal with anything to do with septic systems or running water lines or doing any of the utilities in the orphanage because, it's not too glorious. Oh, this is a video of the kids when they were doing their skits out for us. That little girl right there in the front just came to the orphanage about a month ago. She was abandoned in the streets with her sister. So anyway, what's happening is as we keep enlarging the orphanage, we keep the ground down there is I thought was real porous, and because it's all volcanic ash, but it has a lot of clay in it, and so the bottom line is the conventional septic systems are not working, and we've already had one system they had to abandon and enlarge another system, and then we keep adding kids, and we don't want to stop adding kids. But, bottom line is somebody, we got to deal with the waste. And so we've got all kinds of situations that we're trying to work. I know what the answer is, okay? I've found the answer. I know what the answer is. And the answer is that the military makes a system for handling waste when they go off on military maneuvers and stuff like that. They're portable units, and they go in there and actually, you can take raw waste into the system, and then fresh water comes out the other end. I don't really want to drink it, just the psychology of the whole thing of me just sitting there looking at what went on one side and what came out the other, but they swear they can test it, and everything's purified, and the water's purified and all, and they've used these things in these systems, and they're proven, and they're mobile. They're just like a container. And they go on there, and you take them out, and they take them out into the field and drop them down, and everything's plumbed into it, and they work. But the problem is the cost for what we'd need to do that's about $250,000. Huge amount of money. I'm looking at some different systems to try to find some that maybe doesn't purify the water all the way down to that and turns it just to like gray water, and then we can maybe get rid of it. But it's an issue that we're running into. So when I was down there this time, I was checking the leach fields out and looking at everything, and just with the increase of the people, the team there, and 60 more people on the site, we were having some problems. And I said, guys, I know nobody is looking at this and nobody's thinking about this, but I'm telling you, we have issues. We've got to deal with this. We can't keep building more houses and bringing in more kids until we solve this problem. So I came up with some witty inventions to maybe alleviate some of the things, which I will not discuss because I don't want it on the video. They would probably put me in jail in the United States for doing it, but they're not going to do it in Guatemala. And so I just relieved the system some by cutting the gray water off. Okay. Anyway, long story short, y'all remember this? Okay, I'm not such a bad guy. I'll tell what I'm talking about. How many of y'all were raised in a house where you had a black hose that ran outside your house that you moved around the house here and there? Oh, thank you, Jesus. I got all the house. Hey, okay. Dealt with the gray water, right? Well, now everybody, that's taboo. That's oh my God, we're killing the earth if you do that, And so you can't do that anymore in the States. Well, simple solution to deal with that down there was to cut off the gray water and get it out of there. And so I have the guys right now digging ditches and putting everything in there. But you got to understand how backwards everything is. I was standing there I'm talking about our top level workers, which are smart guys. And I said, guys, let's just get a trencher. Let's get it in here. I said, there's got to be one in the city. I don't know what it's going to cost. Just find it, rent it, get it out here. I said, there's the walk behinds, and then there's like a ditch witch, and just get a trencher out here, and let's trench this thing and put it in there. So I'm telling them, the whole time I'm talking to them, I'm seeing this real blank look on their face, and I said, what? We don't know what you're talking about. So what do you mean you don't know what I'm talking about? A trencher, just get a trencher. A ditcher? What do y'all call it? We don't know. We don't even ever seen this machine. They said, we'll get 15 guys out here and it'll take them about 2 weeks and we'll dig all that. I said, dude, there's a trencher in the city. There's a trencher. I'm telling you, it's a machine. It digs. It's got a big well on it. They're like, really? I'm like, oh my God, we can't be this backwards here, And so I'm just telling you, just the obstacles you deal with to just do things like this is just, difficult. But anyway, so we're doing that. I'm getting that done. And that's only going to suffice us for a momentary time until it's going to relieve the system some, but it's not going to fix the solution. And so I just need prayer about this. We've got to figure this out. There's somewhere, somehow, God has a plan. There's an answer to getting that type of equipment in there that what we need to do our own, you know, mobile waste management system for that, so we can just go on. And see, the great thing was it would be so green friendly, in the sense that if we got the system that actually purified the water down to drinking water, then I'll take that, save, catch that in tanks, and we'll run it back through the system and use that for all the washing water and all the showers and all that kind of stuff for that kind of water, because we always buy drinking water. But then we would just keep doing it. So then we wouldn't have to have the well, which always gives us a hard time during the winter, because it gets dry, and that would take the load off our well. So it's a win-win situation. It's just dollars, you know, and that's the bottom line. So anyway, I've already found the company that produces it. I've already gone to them, talked to them, shamed them. I shamed them, and they dropped about $40,000 off the price, but we're still talking about a lot of money. So anyway, God has streets that are not paved with gold. They're solid gold. That means there ain't no caliche base under it. All right? So we just need to chip off a piece from heaven and get it into our hands. Amen? So anyway, y'all just focus your prayer and pray about that, because we're the septic church. And we deal with that. And so praise God. Doesn't sound too glorious, but I'm telling you what. Nothing will function down there unless that's taken care of. And that's the most important factor of the whole orphanage. That's got to take place. So anyway, so y'all be praying about that. Amen? Y'all pray. Just throw up prayers all the time. Just keep it in prayer. And God has an answer, and it's going to come to pass, and we're going to get it done. Amen? Okay, you found Psalms 91? All right, here we go. I want to start a new message this morning. And I don't have any earthly idea how many, if this is going to be a today's message, or it's going to go for weeks or months, or I have no idea. All I know is I'm excited about it. And a lot of the things that I preach, I don't really know what I'm going to preach until I step up here and start preaching. And so I just feel like there's something God's trying to tell us about. And the title of the message is going to be The Covering of the Lord. You know, religion teaches something that is not biblical. That happens a lot, okay? They teach that it's almost like they want to make people think that they're in and out of the grace of God, or in and out of the covering of the Lord, or in and out of God's favor, however you want to look at it. Like, in other words, you come to church today and you take communion, because we have a communion Sunday today. You take communion, woo, man, you're all good, you're all fresh, you're all clean. You go out there, you make it about 2 or 3 days, you get mad, kick the cat, yell at the wife, throw a fit, act like a, you know, fool. And then the thought comes to you, well, you know, God didn't love me too much, He didn't care too much for me, I'm kind of out. And so you live this life, this roller coaster life with God, and your relationship is going, you know, oh, you're doing good, you're not, you're doing good, you're not, you're doing good, you're not, you're doing good, just like a gopher poking his head up out of the hole, right? And then if you stay in that mentality long enough, then you're like the gopher poking his head out of the hole, expecting God to have a bat, you know, whack. You don't want to go to talk to God anymore. You don't want to go to your Heavenly Father, because you feel like you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be chastised. Smoked by God if you get around Him and mess with Him. Do y'all understand what I'm saying here? Y'all ever had a whiff of this mentality before, or ever knew somebody that did, huh? Am I preaching to the right crowd here somewhere? Y'all give me a show of hands. Y'all ever had these things? Because what happens to us in life is then you don't want to have a relationship with God, or you're always checking to see if Daddy's mad. And we get that mentality in our head because we look at our earthly fathers and the way that they react to things. You know, even as a kid, I love my father. I knew my father loved me, but there was times that I didn't want to talk to my father, you know. If he was having a bad day, I didn't want to be around him, you know. I was either going to get put to work or, told what to do. You know, I didn't want to go mess with that. And so we get our same mentality like that. We don't want to be around our Heavenly Father because we think that that's the way He does it. Because we can only relate, when we say Father, we can only relate to Father based upon our earthly fathers. But I want you to understand something this morning. I want to prove to you in the next few weeks about the covering of the Lord that that isn't even the way God thinks at all. That God's mentality towards you is a mentality of absolute 100% agape love, God kind of love directed towards you at all times. That at all times, God is covering you. God is just what Psalms 91 says to me. He is standing and with his glory out over you at all times, covering you at all times. When you're doing everything right or everything wrong, God's love doesn't change for you. God's love doesn't go up and down. It doesn't move. It's always covering you. The Bible says that the love of God covers a multitude of sins. God is always there. He's always loving you. He's always covering. He's always looking at you, even if you're a rascal, and saying, man, that's my boy. Y'all with me? Psalms 91, let's read it here. Verse 1 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall you take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Now stop right there for just a second. You got to understand, Psalms 91 was written by Moses, not David. And his impression of God was as a mother hen covers her chicks under the wings, protecting them from the sun, protecting them from another bird that might come in and snatch them, protecting them from whatever that might be around that the wings are covering, and you were underneath this shadow of the Almighty. You were underneath his wings being protected at all times. But it says there, in verse 4, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall you take refuge. His truth, everybody say his truth. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. See, the problem is most people don't know the truth. And Jesus said in John 8, if you know the truth, then the truth will set you free. But if you don't know the truth, you don't know what's real, you don't know what God's real thought is, then what happens to you is the devil can come in there and talk to you and say, oh, well, God's mad at you. He doesn't love you. And you walk out from underneath the covering of the Lord, and you put yourself in a place that makes you vulnerable to the enemy and vulnerable to attack and vulnerable to crazy thinking and vulnerable to all kinds of thoughts and makes you isolated and keeps you to walking away from the love of God. The Bible said God, he doesn't ever change. He never moves. Only we do. We separate ourselves from God. We walk out from under the covering. We go out from under the shadow of his wings. But he's always there loving us, wanting us to be with us, and still covering us and loving us even though we walked out. Are y'all with me? Y'all with me? We walked away. God didn't walk away. Every time in life you've ever been mad at God because he didn't do something you thought he should have done, or that his word didn't work like you thought it should have worked, something happened to you and you separate, you got angry at God or whatever, he did not leave you. I don't care if you feel like you said, well, I don't know, one day I was just there and the next day, I mean, it's like God left me. No, you separated yourself somehow. You took the road, you walked away. I mean, that's a hard thing sometimes to swallow because it's easier to believe, well, God did it, and blame him. But we have to take responsibility for our lives. We have to take responsibility for what we're doing. It's us that separate ourselves from his love. He's always wanting to cover us. And if we don't know the truth, and that's what this message is going to be about, knowing the truth and what it'll do for you and your family. Because let me just carry this down for just a second. God's covering you, but you got to do some covering too. I said, what do you mean? Whoa. Yeah, you're supposed to cover your family in prayer. You're supposed to cover your family in love. You're supposed to cover all the crazies out there in life. Yesterday, my wife went into the store. I was coming home. I was tired. I was hungry. And when I get tired and hungry, that's just, God has to work overtime to keep me going. I mean, I'm in a bad place. And so she was going into the store, and I was going to sit in the car, and I was going to park the car, and there's a guy driving kind of towards me, but he's kind of over a little bit, and I just kind of pulled up, and I was going to pull into this spot, and I eased up, and this guy just almost hit me, and then he just laid on his horn, honked at me, and threw his hands up and acted like I was, you know, in the wrong. And I'll tell y'all, instantly, the love of God did not come up in my heart. The first thought that came to my mind was, poor guy, he needs prayer. Wasn't that? I'm ashamed to even tell you the first thoughts that came to my mind, but it all had to do with running this guy down, you know, dragging him out of his truck, fivefold ministry upon him, hard, fast, and continuously. And I had to stop and say, Lord Jesus, what is the matter with me? Here this guy is. He just a fool. It helped me to, Lord, I got to have some mercy to pray for this guy. You give me mercy. You show me mercy all the time. And I'm not showing this guy an ounce of mercy, Lord. I'm just ready just to end his life right now over honking the horn at me. You know, what is the matter with me? And I had to coach myself right there in the car to be godly. You know what I'm saying? And I would like to tell y'all, I just love just came up in my heart, but it didn't. I'm praying that someday I will be there and be able to say, bless you, my fool. You know, but I'm not there yet. I'm better than I would have been because I would have just chased him down. And this is my only thought about it. So praise God, I'm getting better. But the point is that that's the way we are as humans. We don't cover anybody's sins. We don't cover any fool. We don't cover nothing. We always are about exposing everything. And I want to tell you why. I kind of feel like I need to duck down here when I say this, because I don't want anybody to throw anything at me. But the reason why is because if you find somebody else that's doing worse than you're doing, and if you look at them and expose them, well, then you don't feel as bad about the life you're living. What a shame. Shame on us. Shame on us, because we just don't want to feel bad about ourselves, so we find somebody doing worse than we think they're doing us. But you got to understand, I've used this illustration before, but I just want you to understand this. If all of us lined up before God, and we, like right now, we just took the survey of all of us, and I just told my dirty laundry, and we all did it, and then we all had some judges over here, and we scored who had done the worst this week, and who had done the least this week, all right? And then we lined y'all all up, you know? Okay, and so we put the person that we figured had sinned the least up front and the person that had sinned the most in the back and went to present you before God. I want to tell you something, sin's sin. And there ain't no lining up and there ain't even God. You either repented of it, right, or you haven't. There's no degree of it. You don't get to say, well, bless God. I mean, there was 46 of us and I was only 25. I mean, ain't too bad. I'm doing too shabby this week, bless God. And take comfort in that. You can't do that. No, you take comfort in going to God and falling down on your face before him and saying, Father, forgive me, for I'm a sinner. My Lord, have mercy. The things I thought in my mind of doing to that poor fool out there, Lord, God, help me. You see, that's what I'm saying. That's repentance, and that's what you got to look at. And you say, Lord, you got to help me. Man, I was quick to react. I'm not going to be next time. Father, give me that strength to go on. You're not ever going to not have the thought or not, you know. Something's going to happen. Because we're made out of dirt. I always tell the Lord that you should have found some better building materials than dirt. Lord, made us out of gold. I mean, Lord, not dirt. Made us all out of diamond or something, you know. I don't know. But yeah, I'm already made out of dirt, so bless God, I act like dirt. Well, carnal nature is always going to, you know, be hanging around. You're not going to get rid of it until you get a new heavenly suit instead of this old earth suit you're in. You know, things will change. Then the Bible says when we see Jesus, then we'll be like he is. And then it's all, that stuff changes. But right now, we're still dealing with this old fleshly side of us. Y'all with me? Okay, so you're not in and out. You can't go line yourself up. You can't make yourself feel better just because somebody else sinned worse than you did. There's no glory in that. The glory is in knowing that our relationship with our Heavenly Father is right and that we can go to Him and speak to Him and talk to Him and pray and that He forgives us and He loves us and we can go to Him and approach the throne of God and know that He's not mad at us. That's the point of this message. You've got to understand something. He wants you in His love. He wants you under His shadow, His wings. He wants you covered under the blood of Jesus and covered and living with Him. Only we separate ourselves from that. We do it because of what we think. He's not separating us. He's not sorting us out. One of the things I always loved to do was when we were ranching, is to get on the cut gate. on the chute. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'll just explain it here. You know, you're always in a cut gate in a chute. You're going to sort the cattle out. You usually have a double cut gate. And you can cut in the chute. There's a funnel in the back, and it gets narrow. And then there's a narrow alley where the cattle would go down. And you could stand straddling it, and you could hold the two levers of the gate, and you could pull it this way and turn one cow that way and close it and open it up over here, let it go through, and you can make a three-way cut. God's not standing there as y'all approach the throne of God in a three-way cut, sorting some of you over here because you did pretty good, letting some of you go on through. Yeah, they did pretty good. They did really good this week. Let them go over there and putting these others over here and making you go around again. Right? When you come to God, His arms are always open to you, and He's always loving you, and He's always looking at you and saying, man, I love you with an everlasting love. And I'm drawing you to me. And I'm covering you. Right? We got to remember that, folks. You cannot let the enemy get you off in life, get you sorted off out over there, get you over in the pen, standing there by yourself thinking, well, God doesn't really love me. I've just done too much wrong. Because you cannot be a productive Christian if you isolate yourself or separate yourself from the love of God. I'm always amazed at people who feel like that if they don't say anything, God wouldn't know. You know, like, well, I've done some things and I don't really want to talk to him. And they're like, whisper it to me. I'm like, you think he didn't know? Well, I don't bring it up. I mean, you know. He knows the number of hairs you have on your head and he counts them every day. I don't know how that works out, but he does. And so, you know, if he knows how many hairs you got, then I bless God, he knows what you did. Okay. Let me finish this. Go back to verse 4. And he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall you take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord who is your refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor any plague shall come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and on the cobra, and the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he set your love upon me, therefore I will deliver you, and I will set you on high because you've known my name. He shall call upon me, and I'll answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now go back to verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. That's what that's talking about. It doesn't say he who separated himself from the Most High. See, who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. There's a place you can live in life when you understand the truth that the blood of Jesus has washed your sins away and set you free and put you in a position with your Heavenly Father that made you righteous and holy before Him. And there's a place you can live in that secret place of just knowing that you can talk to your Father and your Father says, howdy, boy, I'm glad to see you. Not, listen, you rascal, when are you going to quit doing what you're doing? But as long as religion teaches you that God could be angry at you, God could say no, God could do all this, listen to me, you don't know. You're going to the throne. It's hard enough to go to the throne when you're doing it by the Spirit to know if God's going to smack you or not, or he's going to say no or not. No, I don't think so. Go on, next. Can you imagine praying to God and all of a sudden he says, okay, hold on, I've got another call coming in. I need to put you on hold. Hold on. Are y'all like me? I don't like that on the phone. Just hang up. Tell me you call me back later. Because what that tells me is that the other person that's calling is more important than that person I was talking to. Now, I hate to say it, but I've done that before. especially on the new phones, you know, just say, hey, hold on just a minute, pick up the other call, go back, if you can figure it out how to do it. I usually lose a guy somewhere. And I had a guy ask me one time, he said, man, I can't believe you did that to me. And I said, well, the call's more important than yours. He said, thanks a lot. And I said, I'm just telling you the truth. Are y'all with me here? Can you imagine how offended you'd be if that's the way your Heavenly Father treated you? But people believe that. People believe that God, if they go to the throne, could be angry with them, and their prayers aren't getting answered because God's angry with them. Listen to me, if your prayers aren't getting answered, something's wrong with the way you're praying, because your Heavenly Father is for you, He's not against you. This is good news. Y'all are looking at me kind of strange. This is good news. Great news. Amen? Now, Moses had this idea. He understood this. He said, man, wait a minute. If I stay with God and I stay there, I'm going to be under His covering. Okay? Let's look at another scripture here. Go, if you would, to the book of Exodus, chapter 33. Now, we come into a time where God is asking Moses to do something for him, to lead the people, and he doesn't really want to do it. He doesn't want to take on that responsibility. And so Moses decides he's going to ask God for something. Start in verse 13, Exodus 33:13. He says, now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know. That I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider this nation as your people. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people, that I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we will be, so we shall be separated, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing that you have spoken. For you have found grace in my sight. For I know by your name, and said, please show me your glory. Then he said, I will make my goodness pass before you. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And he said, you cannot see my face, no man can see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me. Everybody say, a place by me. The Lord says, here's a place by me. And you shall stand on the rock, and it shall be that when my glory passes by, that I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face you'll not see. You know what it means, the cleft of a rock, you know? It's that, it's not a cave, that little, right, indention. Goes back from the face of the rock. Goes back a little bit. He said, I'm going to, there's a place by me. Who's by him? Who's sitting at his right hand? Jesus, right? He says, there's a place by me. You know, I'm going to call him the rock. And it's in the cleft of the rock here. And then I'm going to put my hand over you and I'm going to cover you. Everybody say, cover me. He said, I want to cover you. He said, I'm going to put my hand over you, and I'm going to cover you. The hand of God upon our lives. Whew. The Almighty Creator, the one that made us, the one that fashioned us, the one that breathed life into us, said, I'm going to put my hand on you, and I'm going to cover you. Nehemiah 2:8, it's a verse I love. It's been in my heart forever. I quote it. You may hear me pray it a lot. When Nehemiah was going back and from Babylon back to Jerusalem, and he said, the good hand of God is upon me. And I always pray, God, I just want your good hand upon me. Here he's in the cleft of rock, says, man, I'm going to put my hand on you. It's an amazing thing to understand and have a revelation of the truth that God covers us. He puts his hand upon us in Jesus and covers us and wants to cover us from the destruction of this world, the pestilence of this world, the craziness of this world. There's a place in the cleft of the rock you can go to keep you from going nuts. In Jesus. There's a secret place you can dwell in the cleft of the rock with the hand of God on you that can keep you from going nuts. But you'll never go there, you'll never do it unless you know the truth. Because the enemy will say, oh no, what are you going to go stand over there for? That's not where you want to stand. You don't want to do that. You don't want to get close to God. He's mad at you right now. You know he hadn't been living right. You know he hadn't been doing right. It's like walking a tightrope, and the devil's standing behind you saying, oh, man, it looks like the wind's coming up. Are you sure you're not going to fall? Oh, it looks like you're going to fall. You sure you're not going to fall? You're going to fall. The rope's moving. It's giving. The whole time you're trying to walk. Y'all with me? He doesn't want you to succeed. He doesn't want you to succeed at all. He wants you to fail. He wants you to fall. He wants you to miserably slip and fall in life and get down, and then he says, yeah. It took them away from the love of God, but the whole time the love of God's coming. The love of God's calling. The love of God's beckoning. The love of God's saying, come on, just get underneath my wings. Get in here. Let me cover you. I've got you here. I love you, man. I want you here with me. Come on. Come on. Stay. Stay. Don't go. Remember the story of the prodigal son? What happened? The son left, right? Where was the father? Same place he'd always been, right? He was at home. What did the son have to do? Come to his senses and what? Return home. Oh, when the father saw him a great way off, he ran to him. Are y'all following me in all this? I'm trying to explain to you and just get this into your hearts and get this soaked into your souls right now about God is not leaving you. It's only the enemy taking our minds off and getting us away from him and letting us walk away. The covering of the Lord, his love is always there covering us and wanting to cover us. It's only us that separate ourselves from him. He says, I want you to be in that cleft of the rock. I want you to stay right there with me. I want you to stay, 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 stay. Psalms 32, verse 1 says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Wow, that your sins are covered. In the Old Testament, I don't want to go through take time to go through all of this morning. It'll take too long. In the Old Testament, so you just have to go back and read it. Find it in the book of Exodus and read it. When God took out the children of Israel and he got them out of Egypt, and they came out and they were supposed to go into the promised land. They didn't make it. So they're wandering out the wilderness. The first thing God did is said, look, we got to set up a tabernacle. And he set up basically a church. And the church had an outer court and an inner court. And in the outer court was where all the sacrifices were made, where they brought all the animal sacrifices in. Every week they brought in sacrifices and had a big barbecue, okay? And then the inner court was where the Holy of Holies was. And inside the inner court, there was a box. I always loved the Indiana Jones movie, you know, the very first one that came out with, what was it, the Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? They were really pretty close with the way that they had the ark drawn and all that. That was really pretty good representation. It was a gold box. It wasn't really that big. It was about roughly about 3 foot tall, about 3 foot wide, and about 5.5, 6 foot long. And it had this like a gold crown around the top of it. And it had these two angels, that the cherubims that were over there. And their wings went backwards over it, and they covered the lid. And inside the box of the Ark of the Covenant, inside that box was the Ten Commandments representing the things that God asked. Just 10 things. Could you just not do these 10 things, which man couldn't do? Aaron's rod that budded to show that the rebellion of man. And then a pot full of the manna that God's supernatural power had been providing for the people. Now, once a year, the high priest went behind this very thick veil to go in there. It was only once he went back there because he didn't want to go back there because the presence of God was back there. Does that make sense? The power and the presence of Almighty God was in that tabernacle. When we worship God here, folks, and you feel good or you feel touched or you feel your emotions or any feeling that you have in here, that is not even anything compared to what was behind that ark. Yet they didn't want to go back there. And they only went back there once a year. They were afraid of God. They didn't want to go back in there. And the high priest had to go in there, and he only went in there after he had gone through every ceremony he could possibly think of to keep his heart right and pure, to get in there, because if they came into the presence of God, now listen to this, they came into the presence of God without the sacrifice of sin on their life for their sins, then the glory of God, the goodness of God would consume them, would kill them. So they were fearful. Listen to this. This is how this is the way the world's operating still today. They were fearful because if you went into the presence of God and you weren't right, poof, swept you up in a dustpan, took you out. People don't want to serve God today because they're scared of Him. That's what was happening then. They don't want to go. But once a year, the high priest had to. It was his job. And he went in there carrying blood from a lamb that had no markings on him, no wounds, no blemishes on him, from a lamb. And he went in there with the blood of the lamb. And he carried it in there, and his job was to pour that blood out on the mercy seat. And then get out of there as fast as he could. Can you imagine going into the presence of God, but all you're doing is wanting to get in there and get out of there as quick as you can? Folks, that's no relationship. That's not the relationship God has for us. That all we do is get in and get out as quick as we can. Pray and then hope you didn't bring up what you did yesterday. Or ask you to go to Ethiopia. That was my problem. I didn't want to talk to God. I just knew He'd send me to Ethiopia. Until one day He spoke to me and said, "Why would I send you to Ethiopia? You don't know anything." I was like, "That's right. I didn't even read the Bible yet. I don't know what I'm talking about. Where am I going? Okay, thank you, Lord." And then I could go talk and pray to God and have a relationship with Him because I wasn't scared I was going to get sent to Ethiopia. Got sent to Utopia. So, he came out of there, but not until he'd poured the blood onto that ark. Okay? He didn't touch the ark. He didn't try to clean off last year's blood. He didn't go in there and tidy up. He didn't do nothing. He didn't mess with nothing. He poured the blood out and got out. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but you can go search it out. Hebrews chapter 10 talks about it, and I'll get into this further, but we're running out of time today. Everything that was made then was nothing but a pattern or a copy of what was already in heaven. Okay, even in Revelations talks about, I believe it's chapter 15, talks about the ark in heaven. Okay? So everything that was made there on earth was a copy of what was in heaven. Okay? So there's an ark in heaven. There's a temple in heaven. There's angels in heaven, except it's the real deal. It's not some gold angels. It's really two angels. Y'all with me? And the Bible says that Jesus, even after He had ascended, He said to Mary, "Don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to my Father and your Father." What was He going to go do? He was going to go pour out His blood. Hebrews 10 talks all about it. About His blood was the blood of the perfect Lamb that was being poured out on top of that mercy seat to do what? Cover the sins of the world. And there had to be a sacrifice, not of the blood of lambs that could do it, but it had to be the sacrifice of the perfect Lamb, the sinless Lamb, that was poured out once and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Are y'all with me? His blood was poured out. So if His blood's poured out on the ark and on that mercy seat, and it's screaming out and crying out that He's paid the price for you and for me, then why should we let the devil talk us out of getting outside of the covering of God, of the love of God that covers a multitude of sins, into over there into the tormenting area of the devil, to let him harass us, to let him degrade us, to let him keep us from being who we can be in Christ? When Jesus' blood is sitting up in heaven, poured out for you and I, screaming that you're forgiven, that you have the right to come boldly, Hebrews 10 says, into the throne room of grace. Listen to me. I'm running out of time. I got too much to tell you. It's boiling up on the inside of me. Either got to drink some water and calm the fire down and start next week or keep going. Folks, I'm just going to tell you something. You just don't understand. You've got to get hold of this revelation of this truth. Because I want you to understand, if you can see it, like I'm preaching it this morning, and you can understand that Jesus' blood's crying out for you and for me, then you will run to your Father because you understand the sacrifice has already been made. Hebrews 10 talks about if a person is trying to make another sacrifice that's not the blood of Christ, that and he's willing to just keep sinning or walking without his sins being covered, he's looking for another way to get his sins covered, he said there isn't any other way. Folks, if you realize that you're forgiven, okay, and keep your relationship on fire with God, then I want to tell you something, then you just want to run to Daddy. If you listen to the enemy in this world, it will separate you from the love of God. I thought to myself, this week I was on the Riverwalk Friday night and then Saturday for a wedding, and I was walking around looking at all the plaques that were on the Riverwalk of godly people who were Christians that either started a church or fought in a battle or did something, but they're noted that they are Christians that founded this area, founded this great state we live in, that did all these things. It was just one after the other, after this person that made this sacrifice, and this one that did this, and this one that fought over in the Alamo, and this one did this, and they're splattered everywhere. It was all, they're all Christians. Christian, 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 Christian. And then you could have somebody talk us out of our Christianity. And this world will say, well, you know, we've got to be politically correct. We don't want to talk about it. Listen to me. This nation was founded upon a Christian, men and women, and a Christian faith. And that's where we need to be at. We don't need anybody talking us out of our Christian faith. You don't need the devil talking you out of going to the throne of God. Not until this nation rises up and enough people rise up and say, enough is enough, okay? We've had enough. We've listened to y'all. We've tolerated y'all. We've tried to walk and what we thought was love. But I want to tell you something. It is love that this nation is founded upon our Christian faith and belief. We have a Judeo-Christian heritage. This is it. If you don't like it, leave. We're going to pray. We're going to read our Bibles. We want the Ten Commandments up in our judicial places. This is what we're founded upon. This is what we believe in. If you don't like it, you're out of office. You're out of office. You're out of office. You're out of office. Everybody's out of office. We're in here now. This is what we're going to do. And if we don't rise up in a nation, we don't rise up in this election, I'm going to tell you something, then I'm going to tell you something, folks, we're in some sad shape. But so with you, if you do not stand up and tell the devil to shut up and get out of your life, you don't stand up and tell the devil, say, no, the blood of Jesus covers me from all my sins. I repent. I want to live a righteous life. I want to live a good life. And quit letting him keep you from going to your heavenly Father and going boldly into the throne room of grace and boldly walking up between Daddy and saying, Daddy, I need some cash. That's what I've been doing about saying, I say, hey, Daddy, I got a bunch of kids down there. You know, all my kids that you got me rounded up down there, Lord. Hey, Daddy, I need some cash. Sounds like a lot on earth, but Lord, I mean, Daddy, I know you got your pockets are loaded. You got cows on 1,000 hills, and I bet cattle prices are good up there. Sell a few heads, send it down, Lord. Are y'all with me? And I'm fully well expecting that he hears our prayers and goes right in there. And he said, well, I can't believe you asked God for money. I ask God for everything. Why not? He's my daddy. My kids never had any problem asking me for everything. Right? I know where my source is. So that takes us to communion. Ladies, would y'all bring the communion down? And let's look at the last thing here. Go, if you would, to Matthew. That's not where I want to go. Here. Go to Matthew 26, I believe. Look at verse 26. Now, I told you that here at Living Waters Church, we have an open communion service. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want you to be able to come up to and to have communion this morning. And the reason why I want you to have an open communion service, and because I'm not concerned about what church you belong to or anything like that, I'm just concerned about, do you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Because Jesus' own words right here. Verse 26 says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, 'Take and eat, this is my body.'" Who said it? Jesus, right? He took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, for this is my body." Some translations say, "Which is broken for you." Jesus said it. I didn't say it. I didn't make it up. It's not the doctrine of Living Waters Church. It's the Word of God. Y'all with me? I'm not promoting some doctrine that we made up. I'm telling you what Jesus himself said. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." All that he went through on the cross, all that he went and happened to him on the cross, all that he died for on the cross, all that he was whipped and scourged and beat on and spit, and all the things that happened to him was right here so that you today could come and have a covenant with him and could come boldly into the throne room of grace because of what his blood was going to do and what his body, his broken body, had been done. Isaiah 53 says the stripes that came upon his back were for your healing. It's right here in this loaf of bread. He said, well, Pastor Audrey just made that loaf. Yeah, she did. And it's a loaf of bread. But with your faith in what Jesus said in his word, you know what happens? It becomes the living body of Christ in you. It becomes the power of God in you. It becomes the faith to heal your bodies and to walk in victory. Well, I can't. If I took it and we checked the molecular structure of this thing out, and then we turned around and did it after I blessed it, you know, I mean, I don't think it's going to change anything. But your faith in what the bread means to you changes everything. Are y'all with me? Jesus said it. I didn't say it. I'm not instituting something that's Living Waters doctrine. It's Bible. It's Jesus' own words. "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." What's funny about it, if you read the first part, it says he took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it. He said, "Lord, I just thank you for this bread. I thank you for everything that it is and what it represents. God, I thank you that you gave us bread and you gave us life." He did it. Just like that. May not have been as thick a loaf. It may have been a pita bread looking piece of bread. It don't make any difference though. Y'all with me? Then it says, look at the next verse. Then it says, he took the cup and he gave thanks for it. He gave it to them. He said, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my," what? "This is my blood of a new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sin." Shed for many. You're part of that many. For the remission, the removal of your sin. Not the blotting out, not the holding, not the putting away so I don't look at it right now. I may have to pull it back up and be mad at you later. The remission of your sin, the taking away of your sin. "For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on till that day we drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." He said, "I took the cup." Folks, this is grape juice, you know? In this cup, And it's red. But it's grape juice right now. But you have the ability to repent of your sin, to ask Him to forgive you, and come and take communion and be washed white as snow. Not to see if you feel like it. Not to come here and say, well, you feel guilty about something and you repent and you come here and you take communion and then you sit back in your seat and say, I still feel guilty. No. I'm not basing my life on feelings and emotions. I'm basing my life on faith in the Word of God. He says if I repent, He's faith and just to forgive me of all of my sins. What were those things called? Etch-a-sketch, right? That looked about like an iPad that you had the little wheels that you drew the little things on and then you shook it and it went away. Isn't that what it was called? An etch-a-sketch or something like that? Right? Isn't it funny? There's like, let's just say there's all your sins being written down and then all of a sudden you repent and they just shake it and then it goes away. You shook it. It's gone. No more remission. No more remembrance. No more place to find it. No more stuck in a... I just thought, see, like he just took it off the desktop and put it in a folder. No, none of that. Yeah. To pull back up, remember, I would answer that prayer, but you remember what you did before? Pull it out of that folder and show it to you. No, none of that. Remission, removal, shaking, it's gone. It's gone. Right here because of this cup. Just because of this, what He's done for us. Because His blood is on the mercy seat right now, covering your sins, crying out for you to give you that way that you can ask for forgiveness and you receive it. The blood's crying out for you at all times. Hebrews 12:24 says, the blood of Jesus speaks and speaks better things than the blood of Abel. It's crying out for you, church. So there's not a person that should leave here today with any guilt in their life. You've got to repent. And believe God. Amen. Can I have my pastoral team come down so I can serve you? So now's the time to come and to get things right. Right there in your chair, just begin to ask Jesus to forgive you.